RPS, proudly presented by Cupra.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can't imagine the privilege, the pleasure that it is for us, Ben and I, here at Radio Primavera Sound, to have the guests that we have in the studio right now. Tunde, Jaleel, Kip from TV and the radio are in the house. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, man.
How does it feel back to? How does it feel to be back in Spain? You used to come very regularly to play festivals all over the country. What were you looking forward to when you knew you were coming to Barcelona?
I think just coming back, pretty much. We took a long break in our last tour. We actually had something happen where we didn't make it to Europe, and that was 2014 or so. So we haven't been here for a very, very long time. Mm. And that's exciting in itself. Yeah.
Yeah. Part of the reason that you're here is that you're celebrating the 20th anniversary of Desperate Youth, Bloodthirsty Babes. How did it feel? Were you doing rehearsals to do this tour, like just to freshen up and get tight again?
Not one, not even one rehearsal.
It's all improvised.
Winging it, just winging it out here.
No, we put a lot of work in ahead of time, actually. It's like maybe 6 months out from the shows we played at the end of last year.
Yeah.
We were getting together and just figuring out different ways to reapproach the music and learn anything we needed to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what perspectives have you picked up from looking at music that you made 20 years ago? Like, did you have new inputs or new emotions by having muscle memory with certain songs?
I think when we looked at the song list, not just from, you know, the things we were going to play from Desperate Youth, but going on a tour, you realize you have so many songs to pick from. And that was kind of, there's a sense of pride and fear. We're just like, oh man, we made a lot of shit. And we can relearn it. You've played some things for so long that when you come back and get the bones down, then you can just play with it, you know? And I feel like that's been a lot of fun, is realizing that the kung fu is strong.
Yeah.
We can mess with it very easily.
I mean, how did it feel? The big weight, I think, was in 2024, you played your first gigs in 5 years, right? How did it feel to get back together on stage? Was it like kind of a very familiar feeling, or was it a bit weird?
Obviously, probably a bit of both, but the amount of everybody's different. For me, like, in order to kind of do this life and kind of keep my head straight, I kind of tune a lot of other things out. Just like, just really focus on the music and what it means to me in the moment, and kind of tune out a lot of the noise. And which is a survival strategy that's not always good, because sometimes you tune out a lot of the positivity. Like, you don't want to take anything too seriously because you don't want to get attached. But coming back, I was really so moved by the amount of genuine appreciation that people have for this music, and I just never really invited that in so much. I don't think I had the emotional capacity to really accept it, that you made something that was meaningful to so many people. But it was really undeniable when we started playing again that it was just that this meant a lot to a lot of people, and I felt really honored to have done that. You know?
And did you also realize how good it was, the music you've done? Because I can imagine if you're really on a whirl doing lots of music at the time, maybe you don't have the time to step back and appreciate it.
Some of it's good.
Yeah, exactly. Some of it's good.
Yeah.
I think it's funny, because when you're writing, I think a lot of the time, from the beginning to like sketching it out and fleshing it out, I think the stopping point sometimes is just usually, okay, that sounds like a song, and for better or for worse, I think you just have to say that's done. So I think it's nice looking back on these songs that you made, and not only do they all sound like songs, but there's enough distance from them where they can almost be other people's songs, but you know, they're yours and they feel good. They're like having nice kids.
But I mean, you've put out some incredible albums and with incredible creativity. It was very hard for the music press to pigeonhole you. Obviously, you could get lumped into the art rock tag or avant-garde music with pop sensibilities and stuff. Do you still feel as excited about the idea of recording music and putting it out the way music gets put out these days? Or are you a little bit with the way music, people put a lot of work into an album and all of a sudden it comes out on a Friday and by Monday everyone's talking about the next thing. I don't know, as artists, is it exciting to still be in part of the industry?
I don't know how tagged up to the industry we are, but I think, like you said, it used to be, these are the 8 records that are coming out this week, even in the early 2000s or whatever. Here's the 10 records that are coming out this week. Here are the videos. Here's what you can see. There's pretty much 5 portals or so that you can get them through. And now it's a fine mist of music and media and content. And I feel privileged to have been making music in a time before that was, really just the mode. Because I feel like we didn't, maybe we're pretty bad at it now with social media still, but we just never, we haven't done a lot of TikTok dances. We haven't done it. We didn't have to. But I think you just make what you make and you hope it's going to find who it finds. And, it might not. It's a really bad situation, I would say, now for especially like emerging artists. You can put all of your heart and soul into something. It goes on some streaming service. You get 0.003% of what it is. And even if you have millions of plays, you it's very hard to make a living off of it. But I feel like on an artistic or spiritual level, there's so many songs that were made like 60 years before I was born. They weren't marketed to me. I just found them somehow and they became a part of the soundtrack of my life. I think you just have to make your stuff and it's always gonna be weird. It's always some message in a bottle sort of thing.
Yeah. I think it's been a shit show from the very beginning of recorded music in a lot of ways. And we grew up listening to albums and that has a specific meaning, and I can approach other people's music or our music or my own music that way, and I will continue to, but also it's been changing the whole time. And like Tunde said, the songs from generations before ours that made it through on 78s or whatnot are not albums, but there's still a whole deep meaning and significance, and we're influential, to the way we learned to approach it and do it.
And also, maybe on the positive aspect of that, though, it does seem like out of this whole deluge of just content, I hate saying the word content, it makes it demoralizing. But
close to
the
mic.
Yeah.
I don't like saying deluge.
What's that?
I don't like saying deluge.
I'd rather say deluge. but one thing I've noticed is that kind of like the lines that we never really accepted, that you say different media had trouble kind of identifying or classifying us. I think that's how it was always really obvious to us that if you're an honest human, you should be a little difficult to kind of classify. And I feel like the world is kind of more embracing that. Like there is a niche for every single thing now because you're, every time you put a song out, you're putting it out to the globe. And so if you can find your very specific audience, maybe you can just connect with that small amount of people if you really speak to those people. So yeah, that's a little inspiring.
I wanted to ask about aging, if I may, because Tunde, I think you gave an interview
what do you
to.
Need to say about it? What do you want to know?
You gave an interview to the Guardian recently, I think it was, and you said that at a time you felt almost too old to be in a band. Presumably that you don't feel like that anymore.
That Guardian article is a Rosetta Stone of me talking and talking and maybe not realizing it was going to be published for some reason. But I don't know. I don't feel that. I don't feel like I'm too old to be in this band. But I feel like sometimes I'm not going to name the band, but there's several times you're playing a festival and you see a band up there that maybe you knew when you were growing up, or maybe your folks knew when they were growing up, and you understand that they're putting on a show. But I think it's just and this can be with a quote-unquote younger band too, phoning it in is not, I feel like if you're on a stage, you should really be doing something. You have an opportunity to take advantage of that moment, whatever you're gonna do, and just kind of going through the motions is not great. I think it's more that I don't think that any of us would do this. I feel like if there was even the idea of we're gonna do this and just go through the motions, it's like, might as well stay home. There's no reason to.
Well, you're obviously excited about making music because this year you just released your debut solo album, The Black Bolts, earlier this year. What gave you the motivation to release a solo album at this stage?
Well, we took a break for a while, and I had songs that were sitting around, some songs that just never made it through the band vetting process or... But it's one of those things where, you know, we really went very hard as far as since we started, like recording, touring. And then you take a break and you're kind of like, I don't know what to do, but it's the feeling always grows back. And it's sort of like, if that's how you process the world by making art or making music, it's just gonna come back and you've gotta do something with it. And we were on a break, and then the pandemic happened, and I was at home, and I was like, this is the best use of my time right now.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here, but you've got to go and play a gig. Less than 2 hours.
Yeah, we're getting screamed at on the, it's like, guys, cut the internet. Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you so much for coming along. 11:20 just over there. Cooper stage, which is slightly more.
The Cooper stage?
Yeah.
The best stage.
Excellent. That's good to know. Yep.
Well, TV on the Radio, thank you so much for stopping by.
RPS, proudly presented by Cooper.